I've already had a little bit of an introduction, but I thought the best way to introduce myself, really, is to give you some really cute photos, not of me, oh, it's not really working, of my cat. Can you see my cat? In the top, that top one is my husband, but there's two photos of my cat because the cat's cuter. And as you can see, the bottom photo there is me in my King's uniform, just to prove that I did actually go to King's. You can't really see me. That head teacher's not there anymore, but he was a good head teacher. So as has already been said, I'm Bethany, and I live in Manchester, and my job is, I'm the youth and schools worker for a charity called Naked Truth. So I don't know if anyone's ever heard of Naked Truth before, but basically, I get paid to talk about porn. So you're like, oh, that's awkward. I find that a really good job, a really fun job. I get to basically go around talking about sex, which usually nobody really wants to talk about, and I get to talk about it loads, which is great. And I bet when you go home tonight and your parents say, hey, what did you learn about? You can say, well, let's talk about porn, mum, dad, little sister. Maybe don't do it actually in front of your little sister. But I could stand here and literally talk to you for about 5 hours, which nobody wants, about porn. Not actually going to really do that. I was going to do that. And then today, when I was kind of going over my talk, I really felt that God was saying, actually, I want you to talk about something else, which is always annoying when you've planned to talk about something else. But I really feel that actually God was saying, no, tonight, I want you to bring this message. So this is especially for you from God. So listen. So firstly, I want to talk about New Year's resolutions. Has anybody set a New Year's resolution this year? Raise up your hand if you have got a New Year's resolution. Doesn't matter if you've already broken it. If you kind of had one, maybe kind of had one, yeah. Maybe to the person that, or who has ever set a New Year's resolution. Maybe by now you've given up on saying. Most people. What I'd love, we're just going to spend 1 minute, turn to the person next to you and share what your New Year's resolution is, either for this year or in the past. What New Year's resolution have you set? Okay, so a couple of people want to stick up their hand and share with the rest of the room. What is your New Year's resolution? Go for it. To do your New Year's resolution, what is that? That's it, just to do, that means you can achieve it, right? Great, anyone else got a New Year's resolution that they want to share with the room? There was lots of chatter, so someone must. Come on, anyone. A New Year's resolution that you've set this year or you've had in the past? Keep fit. Great. That's a classic one. Stop eating McDonald's. Anyone else? Be kinder. That's a good one. Anyone else? Yes? Cuddle your dog more. Oh, that's cute. Yeah? Keep your work on track. Good. Yeah? Whoa, to do a back somersault on the trampoline. You can video, give us video evidence of that. Yeah, one more. Drink more water. That's a really good one. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to drink 3 litres a day. Apparently, if you drink any more than that, then it kind of counteracts itself because then it washes all the good stuff out, apparently. So I'm just doing 3 litres. Now, did you know that 1 in 3 people in Britain, I found this off trusty Google, 1 in 3 people in Britain set themselves New Year's resolutions, usually on the 2nd of January, interestingly, because people kind of forget that they have to do it and they go, oh yeah, I need a New Year's resolution, quick. Now, the other thing is that 1 in 3... So a third, 1 in 3, no, that's wrong, 88% of them fail by the end of January. So people go, yeah, I've got this really good intention, I'm going to keep fit, I'm going to quit smoking, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to take up the piano, I'm going to do a back split somersault thing on the trampoline. And they kind of fail by the end of January, which is a lot, 88%, that's nearly 9 out of 10 people. That's a lot of people that are failing. Now, why is that? Why do people fail? Usually it's because they're actually quite unrealistic. Cuddling your dog more, that's a nice one and an easy one to keep. There are some that are kind of quite easy for us to keep, aren't there? But there are some that actually are difficult, and it's usually because people are unrealistic, maybe about themselves, and they think, yes, I can achieve anything. If I just set my mind to it, I can climb a mountain, and they've never done any walking like in their life. They just spend their life on computer games, and they think they're going to be able to climb Everest by December. It's just not going to happen, is it? Now, that's good. New Year's resolutions, like, don't now go and think, oh no, I should never have set a New Year's resolution. They're okay things. They're good things for us to think about. You know, we get to the end of the year and we think, you know what? What do I want to change about my life? Maybe you want to take up something, maybe you want to get rid of something. That's okay. That's a good thing. And as Christians, actually, that's an okay thing to do as well. It's okay for us to look back at our lives and think, how can I live a bit better this year? Maybe some of you are thinking, oh, I'd like to read my Bible a bit more. Maybe, as you said, you want to be kinder. That's in the Bible. That's a good thing to do, to be kinder, to be generous. That's one of mine this year. I want to be more generous this year with people. When there's people in need, I don't just want to kind of ignore it and walk past them. I want to actually be more generous this year. Now, and we might think, how can we be a better Christian? Which maybe some people go, whoa, we shouldn't be thinking about that. But actually, it's not actually a bad question to ask if we understand the reason for asking that. If we are asking that question saying, how can I be a better Christian? Because I want to be closer to God. I want to get better reading my Bible because I want to hear his voice more. Or I want to kind of worship him better in times of worship like this. I want to be able to focus and concentrate in times like that rather than getting distracted by my phone or by someone else. I want to actually hear from God more. That's okay. And one of the things that I really love about God is that he doesn't ask us to change before we go to him. He doesn't kind of say, right, sort all of this stuff out before and then come to me and then I'll kind of work through. What he actually does is we come to him and then he says, I will change you, which a lot of us do want. A lot of us want to change some of these things that we've been talking about, you know, reading the Bible more or getting to know him better. He actually, you know, when we say to him, I want to live for you, I give you my life, he doesn't say, well, yeah, fix yourself first and then I'll listen to your prayers. He says, I'll help you. I'll actually change you. And maybe some of you are thinking, yeah, well, that thing that I kind of want to change, or that deeper thing that I, because maybe, you know, I'm not really talking about God's not really going to help you cuddle your dog more. That's kind of you doing that on your own. He might, maybe. But when I'm talking about change, I'm talking about deep change, not even necessarily just kind of reading your Bible. I'm talking about those things that, the things that we kind of do, oh, if someone else knew that about me, then they probably wouldn't like me, or they probably wouldn't want to be my friend, or my parents would go crazy at me. And then we end up thinking, and God probably wouldn't actually love me. And that's kind of the stuff that I want to talk about today, this evening, is that stuff that you go, yeah, but all right, that's fine and well, you're talking about change, this deep change that God wants to do, but you don't know, Bethany, what's actually inside of me. You don't know how far away from God I am right now. You don't know what I do when no one's watching. And actually, the thing is, it's exactly how I felt. Even at events like this, when I came to the point. And that's what I want to do in the next kind of 10 minutes, is just share with you a bit of my story. Now, as I said before, it's going to be a little bit about sex and pornography, which maybe is a bit shocking, because you think, whoa, like, nobody really talks about that stuff. And if we do, generally tends to be with boys. We kind of often split boys and girls up, and we just talk to the boys about this stuff, and we assume that girls don't really think about that, which is just not true. Now, I'm going to share with you one of these struggles I had when I was a teenager, from the age of 9 through to the age of 21. And basically what happened was, when I was 9 years old, so I was still at primary school, Autumn Wisto, if anyone knows that, no? Yes, great! I didn't expect that, that's where I was. And we had some homework set for us. So at the age of 9, maybe some of you got siblings who are 9, it's quite young, about this high, maybe a bit higher. And I was doing some homework on the computer. And basically came across something that I'd never really seen before. And maybe some of you are going, yeah, there's that weird video, you know, when you're watching a YouTube video, and down the sidebar you're thinking, whoa, what the heck is that? Not going to click on that. Or maybe, as I did when I was 9, I thought, what's that? And accidentally came across something. Now, it was something explicit. It was something that was showing sex, a naked person. Never seen a naked person before. Didn't know what it was, really. Thought, oh, well, that's interesting. And at 9, I wasn't being like devious and sneaky. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. But then what started to happen was, I thought, oh, gosh, this is really not good. Maybe I shouldn't really be looking at this stuff. Oh, gosh. And I started getting very scared and embarrassed. And I was thinking, oh, gosh, I'm looking at somebody naked. This isn't good. Closed it down. Deleted my internet history. Don't know how I knew how to do that at 9. Deleted it. I was like, oh, my goodness, I can never tell my parents that. Because if I do, then I will get in serious trouble. Because they'll think that I've gone out of my way to try and find this stuff. And so I didn't tell them. Which, you know, that would be a nice little story if that was it. And you could say, oh, well, you should tell your parents if you see this kind of stuff. Thing is, I went to bed that night as a 9-year-old. And what ended up happening was, I tried to sleep and I couldn't. And this image, this video that I'd seen, was playing round in my head, round and round and round. And it was kind of haunting me. It wasn't like, I don't know, a cartoon or something, like a Disney film. It, you know, it's not a nice thing to have. And I was thinking, what on earth is going on? Now, my 9-year-old logic, which seems really silly now, and if you look back, and maybe you're going to think this is silly, but as a 9-year-old, I thought, well, I need to get this image out of my head, So what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch more. Huh? Basically, my logic was, I want to get it out of my head, so I'm going to put it on a screen. So I want to get it out of the internal, and I'm going to put it externally. Because that seems a bit safer, because that's something that I can shut down. So that's what I did as a 9-year-old. It seems silly, I know. But the thing is, actually what ended up happening was, obviously, more memories were being ingrained, and the more damaged I started to become. And I was keeping this secret from my mum and dad, and I was so embarrassed, so ashamed. Nobody was talking about this stuff at church. I didn't know that it was called porn then, at all. Now, you don't have to have seen pornography to kind of understand what I'm saying, but actually it taught me a lot of rubbish about myself. You know, you walk outside of here, and very, very quickly there will be an advert with someone half naked, advertising like a beer or something, which seems totally irrelevant, or like a burger, and there's a naked person on the advert. It's very confusing. Or there's a bus stop, and there's suddenly, you know, Tesco have adverts now where there's like women in underwear, and you're like, what are you doing? And then suddenly you can just see all this stuff as you walk around, so you don't have to have seen online stuff. The reality is, though, and as I've seen through my job, and we've done loads and loads of research, is that the majority of you will have done. You will have seen something. Not necessarily, I'm not going around going, right, who, which one of you has, I can tell. Actually, the reality is, you probably may have come across it by accident. Maybe you have. Maybe you look at it regularly. Maybe you don't like that fact. Maybe you don't really think anything of it. I speak to loads and loads of young people who are just going, yeah, it's really normal. Everyone at school is looking at this stuff. Everyone's talking about it. People are getting into relationships. They're watching it. It's just normal, isn't it? That's just something that people do as they get older. Now, the thing is, I was a Christian, and I wanted to not have sex before I got married, and I thought, well, that probably means this stuff. And as I was a teenager, and I started to hear kind of people talking about sex a little bit more and about relationships, I thought, this probably isn't actually that good and that healthy. And so what I tried to do is I tried to stop. But weirdly and annoyingly, I actually couldn't, which sounds a bit funny. But I tried. So basically I would say, right, that's it. New Year's resolution. Hence why I talked about New Year's resolutions. My New Year's resolution is I'm not going to look at any of these videos anymore. Now, in my head and in my heart, it was confusing because I didn't want to look at this stuff, and yet so much of me was drawn to it. I knew that it wasn't good. I knew that it wasn't really portraying something like a good, healthy relationship, the thing that we all want to have in the future, or that I have now with my husband, that good, healthy, loving relationship. Stuff that we watch online is not portraying that stuff. So I knew that, but at the same time was kind of drawn to it and didn't really understand why. Now, so I was trying to stop, set my New Year's resolution. That's it. Not going to watch porn. That, you know, then God will love me. Then God will listen to my prayers. That's what I need to do. Right, I need to, yeah, let's just try really, really, really hard not to watch it. 2 days in, I watched it. Right? Tried really, right, that's it. Right, I'm going to set this reset, kind of 3rd of January. Let's go for it again. 5th of January, looked at something. It was awful. For years and years and years, I tried and tried and tried. And the thing is, the more you watch, it's like a drug, right? Don't know if you've heard this before, but science is now showing that porn is just like drugs. So the more that you look at, the more drugs you take, the more addicted you get. And that's exactly what was happening to me. What was happening to my relationship with God was, I just need to fix myself before I can go to God, because there is no way I can pray about this, and there is no way that I can talk to anyone about this, because if anyone knew, then, well, I thought I would like get kicked out of the point or something, or, you know, if anybody found this out about me, then they would think I was disgusting. And I just kept on trying. I just kept on thinking that if I try harder, then maybe this time I will do it. This time I will be free from this. The problem is, and maybe you know this not necessarily from porn, but maybe you try to break some habit like nail biting or something, I don't know. The more that you try really hard and kind of kick the habit, when you fail, it hurts even more, and you're even more annoyed, and you're even more frustrated, and you're even more angry at yourself, which often then, like, so I've only just started to grow my nails, but often I would bite one nail, be so annoyed that I'd bite the other 9. Stupid, but I'd be like, oh, I'm so annoyed, I've done one, and I'd bite all of them off, which is just silly. I should have just grown the 10th one. But that's exactly what happens with porn and with other things, that we go, I'm just going to try really, really, really hard, then we fail, then we feel even worse. And the thing is, God does not think like that. God does not say, you need to fix everything before you come with me. You need to try really, really hard to stop looking at porn, or to stop being tempted to get drunk with your friends, or to stop doing this with your boyfriend or girlfriend, or you just need to read your Bible more and then I'll listen to you. That is not what God says. God's not disappointed with your effort. The fact that you're trying is a good thing. But the key, one of the key things for me that I learned from God, that verse in Romans 8, which says, who shall separate us from the love of God? And there's a big bit about, you know, can demons, can all of this stuff. And it says, I am convinced that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. And that's what I was hearing. God loves us. God loves you guys in here. But I would always say, okay, nothing can separate us from the love of God, apart from the fact that I look at pornography, apart from the fact that I self-harm, apart from the fact that I struggle with food, apart from the fact that I have anxiety or depression, apart from this, apart from that, if it wasn't that, then I would be able to listen. And that's what we do all the time. We always think that we're the worst person. We always think, yeah, God loves everyone else, but not me. And so what happened was, I carried on trying. And this time I thought, as I was getting older and I went to university, on my own laptop, my own computer, and I thought, well, I know what I'll do. I'll put all of that trying effort now into being a good Christian, which doesn't work either. So I started leading worship all the time. Every time I was asked, leading worship at Christian Union, leading worship at all these events, at church, morning and evening services, leading it at small groups. I thought, you know what, I'll lead some Bible studies as well. I was leading Bible studies. I started leading youth groups. I started doing everything I could. I thought, right, I'll start reading my Bible more, or trying to read my Bible more. I was trying and trying and trying. I thought, I'll lift my hands higher in worship. That will help. That will make me feel better. And then God maybe will just like forget about all this bad stuff and see how good I am and love me. But that doesn't work either, because as I said before, God is not looking for that. God's not looking for you to change that thing that maybe you're thinking of right now. It doesn't have to be porn. Maybe there's a thing that you're thinking, no, but God can't love me because of that, or the way that I think about that, or this thing that I've done in the past, or this thing that someone else has done to me in the past. That's just not true. It's just not what God says. And one of the verses that we're going to look at in a minute, just as we end, is one of the verses that God really spoke to me, really, probably at the end of my struggle with pornography. And the thing is, when you struggle with something like this, whether it's pornography or with self-harm or with the number of things that we could talk about, is that it always leads on into other areas of your life. So I hated myself by this point. I thought I was a failure. I thought no one could ever love me. I thought I would never have a relationship. I had a real problem with food because of that. I just really didn't like myself, and therefore thought God didn't like me either. And the verse that God just really spoke to me, and I didn't even know that it was really from the Bible. I was at a student weekend away, and I just heard God say to me, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I thought, ooh, that sounds good. Thanks. Great. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That sounds really good. And then I found out, because I wrote it down in my journal, and then I found out that it actually comes from the Bible. Direct quote, Zechariah 4, verse 6, really random book in the Old Testament. And so often we think in our lives that if we want to change things, we'll set a New Year's resolution. If we want to change things, we'll try really, really hard to do it. Now, one thing I want to just say before we finish is that I'm not saying that you shouldn't try. I'm not saying that now you should just go, well, like, God can just do it. I don't need to make any effort. I'm not supposed to put in any might or any power, any kind of trying. I'll just sit back and let God do it. That's not what it means. And actually, if you feel like you need help in breaking something, maybe that's porn, self-harm, eating disorder, depression, anxiety, whatever it might be, you actually need help. You actually need to go out and seek that help. And that's one of the ways that God helps us by his spirit, is actually by providing people around us. So if that's a youth worker, maybe it's friends. If there is something actually you're thinking, yeah, I actually really struggle with that, you need to go and speak to somebody about that. And there are definitely people here this evening. If you're thinking, I want to do that now, tonight, then you can do that. But one of the ways that God really spoke to me, and we're going to do something fun, maybe, I find it fun, before we close, is he said, God basically said to me, and you do this when you're like in primary school, or in Sunday school, he said, you need to learn the Bible. So that when you're in the moment of, I really want to watch porn, but I don't know, I really kind of don't want to, but yeah, but I do really want to, but yeah, but I don't, that I can basically say a truth like from the Bible. And so we're going to learn a Bible verse, which is like, who did this in Sunday school? Yeah, you know, like when they take words out of the Bible verse and stuff. Because I want you to actually not just hear what I'm saying and think, oh, that was really interesting, she talked about porn. It's actually to learn a Bible verse so that the next time, you know, this Bible verse can be applied to many, many things. Maybe you're going to sit an exam and you're someone who gets really, really worried and anxious about exams and you panic and you think, oh gosh, what if I fail this? What if I do really badly? Or maybe you're somebody who is not great at keeping friendships. Maybe you fall out with your friends all the time. Or maybe there's a really kind of damaging relationship in your life. Or maybe family stuff is really difficult. So we are going to very quickly try and learn this verse. So we'll say it together. So I'll say it and then you can just say it along with me. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Zechariah 4, verse 6. That was poor. Six-year-olds can do it loud. Let's do it loud. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Great. Zechariah 4, verse 6. So next slide, just like they do in Sunday school. Now, let's see if you can do it. Not by, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Great. Next one. Whoa, can you do it? Not by. So, 4, verse 6. And I think we have one more. Hey! Right, go for it. Not by. Great. Now, I want you to take that verse and I want you to remember it. Set that as your New Year's resolution, is to remember that verse. It's not very long. It's really easy. You can go home. You can say it to each other. You can write it on your phone. There's beautiful. If you like, type that verse into Google, you can end up with like beautiful pictures. You can set it as your phone screen. Because I want you to be able to take that verse into every situation, whether it's pornography, whether it's stress at school, friendships, family relationships, whatever it might be. I want you to be able to hold on to that verse. That it's not by how much we try, but actually it's by God's Spirit. That God will help us. God will intervene. God will answer us when we say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. And as the band come up, I am just going to pray for us. Because I know that this evening, it would be very easy to just leave this kind of place and go, oh, that's good. That's nice. That's good that God helped her in that. And maybe for some of you, there are kind of some things that you're already thinking about. You're thinking, yeah, actually, I would really like God to do something in that. I've tried and tried and tried to stop this, or I've tried and tried to do this, or I've really, really tried to fix a relationship. I've really, really tried to stop my mum and dad from arguing, or to be kind of stop my brother from being such an idiot. Actually, maybe you want to see God breaking through whatever situation. There's no situation too small. And so, why don't we stand, actually, right now? We can stand and get up to your feet. Let me just pray and then we're going to respond through worship. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, that it's not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. And your spirit is so powerful. Your spirit is so powerful, Lord, and can break through any of our problems, any of our situations that we think are impossible. Lord, you can break through. And so, just as we start to worship, we're going to respond. There's just a few groups of people that I think should be responding tonight. And we're not going to ask you to kind of come to the front, because I know that sometimes that can be scary. But I think it is important that we do respond. So all we're going to ask, if you feel like this is, you know, you're in one of these groups, is just to raise your hand. And people around you or some of the leaders that can come and just lay their hands on you. You don't have to say what it's for. You don't have to say, yes, I'm struggling with this. But you can. If you want to do that, that would be amazing. But the first group of people are the people like me. The people who actually have been really trying to break something in their life. Doesn't have to be porn. Maybe it's self-harm or compulsive. compulsive lying. I've got a friend who really struggles with that, or anxiety. And we want to pray for breakthrough in that. We want to pray that the Holy Spirit would come and would actually speak to us. And the second group of people that we want to pray for this evening are the people that hear that verse, nothing can separate us from the love of God, but then add something on the end, yeah, but not me. And we're just going to pray that you would experience God's love this evening. Just going to ask, that's all we're going to say. It's all going to ask is that God would show you his love, show you his Father's heart for you. And the third group of people that we want to pray for are the people who feel like they have to earn God's love. People that feel that they just need to do more, say the right things, pray more, read the Bible more, and then God will listen. And so if you feel like you're in one of those groups, maybe you're trying to break something in your life, or maybe you just feel that you need more of Jesus' love, or maybe you want someone to pray for you because you feel like you need to earn God's love, and you know that that's not what God asks of us. If you just stick up your hand right now, and people, if you kind of notice someone next to you who's got their hand up, then I'd just love for you to just lay your hand on them. You don't have to if you don't feel comfortable doing that. One of the leaders can come and do that. But as we start to sing, you can just put up your hand and people will come and pray just for God's love. And so I'll just pray just now. Lord, we just pray that as people start to respond and raise up their hands, Lord, we're saying that we want more of you, Lord. We want more of you in our lives. We want you to come and to break those things that are so difficult to break. We want you to come, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So if that's you, if you just raise your hand and people around you, or some of the leaders will come and pray for you as we start to sing.